The rescue of the soccer team from a cave in northern Thailand was, for many, the story of the year. In fact, by audience numbers, it was the biggest story for the ABC since the election of Donald Trump in 2016. Southeast Asia correspondent Liam Cochrane was at the cave covering the search and rescue, and while he was there, he received an email asking if he'd like to write a book about it. From butcher's paper to unexpected marriage prospects, here's his behind-the-scenes account of the writing of The Cave.
It was the start of week six, and I was resigned to the fact that I wasn't going to get the interview. I wasn't going to sit down with the boys and get the inside story about what really happened deep in that cave. For a day or so, I was utterly depressed. I'd failed. When I agreed to write a book about the Thai cave rescue, I was confident that getting access to the boys and their families would be possible. I thought that because my colleague Jum and I had started to make friends with some of the dads, and we'd been invited into one of their houses just after the wild boars were released from hospital and allowed to go home. We sat there and shared an incredible family moment as one of the boys, Bill, talked about his experience, telling his loved ones for the first time the details of their misadventure and miraculous rescue. But since then, the Thai government had started putting a lot of pressure on the families of the rescued boys to keep quiet, to leave it up to officials of the military junta and trust that a lucrative deal would emerge from Hollywood or somewhere. We tried the proper channels, but had been lied to and then ignored by the main government official involved. So we tried to make our own arrangements. It was on, it was off, it was on, it was off. The efforts to secure a sit-down with the boys was almost as dramatic as the rescue itself. But as we negotiated, there was plenty to keep me busy. Well, me and my team of researchers, four of the best field producers in Thailand. I had to somehow research and write 75,000 words in 6 weeks. I'd never written a book before, but in journalism, saying yes to something and then working out how to do it is kind of standard practice. I started by buying a huge sheet of butcher's paper and coloured markers. I drew concentric circles and started listing the people I hoped to interview, starting in the middle with the football team, of course, then moving out to some of the main players, the governor who led the rescue, the volunteer divers, the Navy SEAL commander, and then another layer of people who played supporting roles and could add colour and specific insights. All up, there were about 30 names. Then I started making lists of where those people were, which of my team would be best placed to help me contact them, and a rough timeline. I knew that I'd start with a trip down south to the island of Koh Tao and hopefully score an interview with one of the diving instructors who was involved. I knew I'd have to make at least one, maybe two trips back to Chiang Rai province, and the rest was pretty loose. The publisher wanted the book out before Christmas. The ABC gave me 6 weeks leave without pay. I made a rough calculation, working 6 days a week and allowing a week at the end for revision. I'd have to write 2,500 words a day. That was my quota. For the next 6 weeks, that number was what determined if I'd had a good day or a bad day. There wasn't time to waste on writing that wouldn't make the cut, so I tried my best to plan it out. I sketched a rough structure with 4 sections, the setup, the getting lost in the search, the rescue operation, and then the aftermath. I wrote down as many chapter headings as I could think of, each one a scene that would move the story along, a more or less chronological timeline. The project started well, with a trip to that southern island and a long interview with the diving instructor Ivan. Back to Bangkok for more interviews and writing, I tried to get up early and write until lunchtime, eat, nap, and then do another writing session in the afternoon. Every interview or travel day put me behind schedule, and most days I fell short of the 2,500-word quota. But I just kept putting words down, getting the quotes sorted, adding new chapter headings for new scenes, and then writing them. The story was sprawling and chaotic at first. No one player had a view of the whole thing. The rescue leaders knew what was happening outside, but not what the boys were going through, or the divers. Each diver had a slightly different perspective, and the Wild Boars football team at the heart of the story had no idea of the international attention being focused on their cave. As best I could, I arranged every scene on a timeline, sometimes down to the minute, sometimes just the day. I tried to think of it like a movie, with characters major and minor, and tried to use action and emotion to vary the pace, keep the story going with moments of despair and tension and drama. But to be honest, mostly, I just kept typing, trying desperately to hit my daily quota, trying to stave off the occasional moments of paralyzing anxiety that I wasn't going to get it done in time. The only defense against that nagging doubt was words, words, progress, scenes, keep going. I left one of my fixers, Tin, in Bangkok to attend a series of seminars and do laborious transcriptions, much of which made it into the book. Another fixer, Nat, and I flew up to Chiang Rai, where we got a swag of good interviews. One was with a lovely 79-year-old man who told us about the fascinating folklore of the caves. The weirdest interview was definitely with a restaurateur in a nearby province, a little side mission arranged by a translator I hadn't worked with before. The woman we met wore chef whites and said she saw spirits in her dreams and in her waking life, spirits that told her to ask a famous monk to go to the cave, a monk said to have a karmic link to the mythical princess. This was the sort of stuff I was hoping for, rich threads that would turn the facts of the rescue into something more like a novel. That interview ended in a feast of Alaskan king crabs, something the spirits told the woman to cook, and a rather awkward moment when she said very seriously that my translator and I would marry, which was interesting because we'd known each other for about 4 hours. She also chose lottery tickets for us, but unfortunately the spirits must have been off their game that day. Slowly, but not that slowly, the story was coming together. Some interviews didn't come off, but most did. The one missing was the boys and their families. By week 6, I decided it wasn't going to happen, and that I'd just have to use the snippets I had from their public appearances and from the insights that Beale gave us that night at his house. But there were so many unanswered questions. Then we got the word. It's on. We hardly dared to get excited this time because the interview had fallen over so many times before. I can't say too much about how it happened, or when, or where, in case that gets people in trouble. But eventually, Jum and I sat down with several of the rescued boys and heard their stories. There were some real surprises, things I had completely wrong in my draft, things I just couldn't have known from the outside. I managed to get another week off work to write up the interview and pound the draft into some kind of shape. In the end, I only managed a manuscript of 60,000 words. But while the editor worked on that first draft, I kept going, managing to secure another key interview with the British diver who filmed that footage of the team on the muddy ledge, and I added another 15,000 words. Things didn't really let up as revisions were made and drafts pinged between Bangkok and Europe and Sydney. The editor and publishers did a fantastic job of helping me streamline the story, explain certain things more, cut out others. Kill your darlings, as they say. I'd like to say we worked right to the end, but actually it was beyond that. I delayed printing by half a day while I stubbornly insisted on changing one letter. My poor publisher. But now it's done. It's out there, and I'm waiting somewhat nervously for people to read it and tell me what they think. This is Liam Cochrane in Bangkok for Correspondence Report.
And Liam's book, The Cave, is out now, published by ABC Books. It's also available as an audiobook.